Facebook Live and RadioBuzz.com. This is No Limit People with Dr. Will Horton.
Hi, everyone. Do you dream of a better life? That better life might be a better physical body. It might be a great relationship. It could be making more money. Could be spiritual development. It could be anything. Well, I want you to know it's not your fault that you don't have it yet, because there are techniques and tips that have been basically hidden from the general population. And I know that these techniques and tips not only saved my life, but gave me a life worth living. I'm Dr. Will Horton, and I'm a leading expert in the world of hypnosis and NLP, and I bring you No Limit People, techniques and tips to help you break through to the next level of what you need to do with your life. So today I thought we would talk about something a little different, which is what I call secret mind control. The examples of where you use these kind of techniques, hypnosis, NLP, bypassing the critical factors of the mind, where you get these techniques and how you get people to take action. It's a fascinating subject. And when I start talking about it, many people go, oh, it's not that big a deal. You know, is it that true? Or everyone thinks that they're too smart to fall victim for this kind of techniques and this kind of technology. But I am here to tell you that actually, it's the opposite. Usually the smarter you are and the more training that you have, the easier it is to fall prey to these kind of ideas, if the person that's using them knows how to communicate with you at the subconscious level. Now, a few years ago, in fact, it was 2007, so it goes back over a decade, when Barack Obama started running for the presidency, someone asked me to break down what he was doing and why he was doing it. And so I looked at it objectively, and I came up with an idea, and I wrote a paper, and it was like, you know, Barack Obama's use of covert hypnosis and NLP. And it wasn't meant to be partisan. It seemed that way, but all I've talked about was some of the things that he was doing that was absolutely brilliant. His use of metaphor. Whenever you see anyone speak in metaphors, it has more power, right? And I'm going to talk about metaphors in a moment. But first thing, let me give you a mind control technique that really works. It's called the magic law of three when you're giving a talk. Whenever you say three things in a row, and if they're related or you start them the same way, it's in hypnosis, we call it compounding. It goes in deeper and deeper and deeper. And it's so powerful. The first one comes up when you read Shakespeare. In the play Julius Caesar, it said friends, Romans, countrymen. So it's like friends, Roman, countrymen. Each one gets closer and closer. The next best example with this would be when Winston Churchill was giving this talk, trying to rouse the British people. And if you could think back or do a search and realize that when he gave this speech, it was pretty bleak for England during World War II at this point. I mean, Germany had overrun entire mainland Europe. It wasn't going well. And they were being bombarded. America hadn't gotten into the war yet, so it was pretty bleak. But he gave the speech, and I'm going to paraphrase it, but he goes basically, "We shall fight them on the beaches. We shall fight them in the streets. We shall fight them in our homes. We will never surrender." And the reason that's so powerful, the magic law of three, is he goes, he started more big. We'll fight them on the beaches, which if they land, that's, we'll fight them on the streets. We'll fight them in the house. Each one came closer and closer to where you are. And he roused the British people to the idea of never surrender. And if you really do your research, you realize there's some talk about maybe surrendering, trying to, you know, get out of this before, you know, it got worse. But it roused the people, and it had to do with this magic law of three. And so when you're making a comment with hypnosis, we call it fractionalization and compounding, where you go deeper and deeper and deeper each time you say something like this. The other time you always see it is when on advertisers, they'll say, "I'm not asking you for $30. I'm not asking you for $20. I'm not even asking you for $15. I'm only asking for $12.95. So it's, again, the magic law of three, and it's becoming closer and closer and closer, and it changes the perspective of what you want the person to do. And it works. I fall victim to it. Come on, let's get honest. We all do. You go, "Well, that's a good deal. He's not asking for 30. He's not asking for 20. He's only asking for whatever it is, right? And it's, if you do it three times, it gets closer and closer and closer. So again, going back to Barack Obama, when he talked about, the other thing is when you speak in big metaphors, people, our brains operate first and foremost on pictures and metaphor type ideas. And so when Barack Obama started running, he talked about the audacity of hope, right? One of his books was The Audacity of Hope. And if you want to think about the power of that, we all have hope, right? And one of the reasons he decided to run when he did, if you can remember, when he first started running for the presidency in 2006, he'd just been a senator for a very short period of time. In fact, he got elected to the Senate. Like 6 months later, he starts his campaign to run for presidency. Many people were telling him to hold off, wait, get some experience, this. But he knew something other people didn't realize, which is if you're going to base your whole idea on hope and dreaming, it's easier to do that on a blank slate, right? He had no track record that they could point at. So people would place their hopes and their dreams, you know, and he talked about, you know, the audacity of hope, daring to dream, doing this. And his he constantly used the law of three, you know. And when he did that, it those of us that listened to his speeches, he used the metaphorical of America being what we want. And again, before, you know, people think I'm just being totally partisan, you know, this is what Reagan did with his shining city on the hill and, you know, making America shine again, as he did. This goes all the way back to the 1980s. So again, we talk about some of the things when we speed forward to talk about what's going on today. One of the things is it's so powerful because it's been going on forever. But what's interesting, when it's happening, if you agree with what it is, you're going to think it's wonderful. If you disagree with it, if it's done right, it makes you look like the bad guy. One of the brilliant things Barack Obama did when he was running for presidency is he managed to frame it when he talked about hope and dreams. So if you were against him, you were against hope. You were against dreams. You were against, you know, this coming from nowhere and becoming the best. It was brilliant, right? And I mean, this goes all the way back to the power of it, because it also began to be reframed. And those of us old enough to remember this is if you disagreed with his policies, they turned it into, therefore you're a racist, right? It wasn't that you could just disagree with his policy. You disagreed with this. And so it made people not want to step out and do it. You know, right now we're seeing it on the flip side, where if you disagree with the current administration's policies, you're against making America great again. So it's kind of really cool to watch this stuff happen in fast time. I really fell in love with it when I looked at it in the political landscape, and I don't really follow politics as much as people think I do. I just watch the process. But when Bill Clinton, Chris, our producers has seen me do this. It's called the Bill Clinton technique, which is he was really good at eliciting states in people. And again, he talked about dreams. He talked about hope when he was running back in the 90s. And again, his thing was he was the boy from Hope, Arkansas, right? Well, think about the power of that. I'm the son of a single parent. It was brilliant. You know, it was, in fact, when he was running and, there was a debate, and it was, you know, George Bush, first President Bush, you know, Ross Perot, and then Bill Clinton. And someone asked them about, you know, the economy was picking up. This was 1992, right after the first Gulf War ended. And, you know, the economy was starting to pick up. Things were beginning to happen. But some person in the audience asked about, what about people that are being left behind? What about people that aren't getting on the economic bandwagon? Well, first, Ross Perot is Ross Perot. He's a billionaire. He kind of got into conspiracy theories. He couldn't answer the question, right? He's like, oh, you know, it was kind of bizarre. But the president, President Bush, he honestly couldn't understand people not getting on this. And part of that has to do with, you got to remember, he'd been vice president for 8 years, president for 4, and head of the CIA for, I think, 8 years before that. So for over 20 years, he had no interaction with the general public, right? So he was somewhat distant. And also he did the thing when lady asked the question, he looked at his watch like that. And so it was like disrespectful. Well, Bill Clinton, you know, comes down off, they were sitting on these bar stools, comes down and goes, Mary, I feel your pain. You know, let me help you. And then he did this brilliant move. Now, you got to remember, if Bill Clinton's like right here, if you can imagine like Ross Perot and George Bush behind him, he goes, yeah, I'm the son of a single parent. You know, my mom had to work and this. He goes, I wasn't born with a silver spoon in my mouth. Right. And he did one of, well, he did like this. He goes, I wasn't born with a silver spoon. So he's kind of pointing at Bush and Ross Perot, a billionaire and the guy that's been in, you know, the highest levels of government forever. It was brilliant, right? And so he separated himself from them. And he was constantly eliciting states in people. When you talk to somebody, a very hypnotic technique is talk about the state that you want them to be in. And when he was running for re-election in 96, he came out and he was talking to people. He'd go, ladies and gentlemen, America is booming. Good things happening right now. And he would, and it, sometimes he'd ask the audience questions like, Chris, tell me what's going on good in your life right now. So you're eliciting good things and you're thinking, you know, in 96 to be, you know, not to be partisan or unpartisan, America was booming. Things were going on. You know, it was, we weren't at war. And so, but every time you elicited something good, he would anchor it to himself. Oh yeah, so your business is booming, Chris. Oh, that's wonderful. You know, you're doing this, you're doing that. And then at one point he was in a debate and he did his, ladies and gentlemen, America's booming. We have peace, we have prosperity, we have unprecedented, whatever it was. And he's doing one of these, kind of like looking to heaven and pointing, but anything good, he's pointing to himself. Because what happens when, and he would do it in threes, peace, prosperity, good things are happening. It was, again, he did the law of three, but each time he elicited a good thing, he anchored it to himself with this simple movement. If I had a tie on, it would be easier because he could adjust his tie. It's a natural movement. So is this, you know, peace, prosperity, or touching your chin. So you like this, you like this. Oh. And so it was good. So anything good he would bring to himself. Right. Again, you elicit the state in someone. Right. And then you bring it to you. Right. And then he did something even more brilliant that I wasn't expecting when I saw it. He went, but ladies and gentlemen, we still have problems in America. And then he listed problems. And then as he listed problems, and it was like, you know, we have this, we have this, we have this. He's just kind of, it's a natural motion. But the way he did it, it was like, as he's pointing, here's Bob Dole, his opponent for presidency. Right. So he's like, you know, the solution's here. And he did this as we go together into the future. You know, there'll be certain people we have to leave behind. Right. It was brilliant. It was beyond brilliant. So when you look at this and realize it's happening at the subconscious level, one of the mistakes people begin to think or make is they think people are going to catch it. If you're caught up in it, you're not going to catch it. I know a guy. Mr. Chris asked me to talk about this. I know a guy that he teaches. If you, let's say you're a single person, let's say you're a male, we'll be kind of, excuse me, I got to take a drink. But let's say you're a single male and you want to date someone, right? And so you meet them and you start talking to them. And basically you start doing the Bill Clinton technique, not like, let's not go down that path, but let's just say, so let's say, you know, you're sitting there, you go, you know, you're a beautiful, intelligent, articulate woman. Let me ask you a question. What kind of guy do you find attractive? Right? And then whatever they describe, you repeat it back to them. And hopefully you get three. So you like a guy who's caring. You like a guy with a nice smile. You like this. And you repeat it back to them because what's happening as they're thinking about it, the way your brain works, this is the neurology of your brain, the way your brain works, you can't think about a state like that without going into it. So this girl, if you're talking to this girl, and she's thinking about it, she's describing it, she's entering into the state of attraction, the state of excitement, and this. And then she's looking at you, and each time you do the like this, or, you know, that's interesting. So you like a guy like it. By the way, she could describe if, you know, tall, dark, and handsome, and if you're short, blonde, and not, it's still going to work because it's the state you're going after. And what's interesting, this one guy teaches this to people, and he goes, and he's done it hundreds of times, rarely does, especially this is easier for men than women, will the women first talk about physical attributes. They're going to talk about a nice smile, a sense of humor, something like that, right? And women can do it too, right? But again, I was teaching this to some people and they go, oh, I would catch that. I go, what are you going to catch someone doing? First of all, they've given you the ultimate compliment. You're a beautiful, intelligent, articulate woman, man, whatever you're flirting with at the time. You're a beautiful, intelligent, articulate woman, the kind of woman I'd like to date. Let me ask you a question. If what are they going to catch you doing? Giving a compliment, asking a legitimate question, right? And when somebody told me, I go, the thing I would probably add is, you know, like, you're a beautiful, intelligent, articulate woman, the kind of woman I would like to date. You know, someone, not saying her, the kind of. Now you've also entered into a little thing you see marketers do, making it scarce, making it like, well, not you, maybe somebody like you. And, you know, it's like that adds that little level of competition I want in. So you're this person. So what kind of person do you find attractive? You know, and then really listen, right? And you're going to find out some things, right? And what happens is it fires up their neurology in such a way it's tagging it to you, right? And this is the secret behind many of these like mass marketing techniques when you break it down. So when you begin to learn these, and one reason I tell people, you know, and today's show is being sponsored by secretmindcontrol.com. Isn't that ironic? And it's a program that you can get into that teaches you all of these techniques in a systematic step-by-step way on how it's being done to the public, what you can do about it to protect yourself. And also, we all want to, a lot of this is about being a better communicator, being a better persuader. We're all trying to persuade, trying to communicate, whether you want to call it mind control, persuasion, salesmanship, whatever. You know, if you're single, you're in the dating pool, you're trying to get dates. If you're a parent, you're trying to raise your kid, you're trying to influence your kid, you're trying to get your kid to make better decisions, you're trying to do all these things. So I came up with this class because it uses the hypnosis and NLP types of techniques, but in a broader base, so you can do it. It's ways to bypass the critical factors of the mind to help people make changes at the subconscious level. And again, if you're watching this and you like this show, make sure you click like, make a comment, and share this to wherever you can, because this information is out there. And we want you to have as much fun with it as humanly possible. So, Mr. Chris, do you have any questions?
That is fascinating information. So how long does this process take for an individual to adopt some of these practices that are in this Secret Mind Control website that's offered in that training?
Well, it's broken down over four sessions, and I do a couple of bonus sessions. I give a lot of real-life applications and where you see it in the real world and how it works. And again, when people go, this doesn't work, you know, if you go back to 2005, no one could imagine a guy like Barack Obama becoming president. It just wasn't going to happen. Even when he started running, many people thought, you know, it wasn't going to work. 2 years ago, about this time 2 years ago, the odds of Donald Trump winning the White House, even securing the nomination, most people could say it was never going to happen. But he did a lot of these techniques, and he did them slightly differently. Again, his thing was about dreaming, about hoping, and he stumbled across, or it was studied intensively, about Make America Great Again, right? And he marketed it, and if you're into branding, he branded it brilliantly. You never saw him without his hat. Trust me, before this, you never saw Donald Trump wear a hat. Anybody's followed his career for years? No, he always had the coiffed hair and the beautiful suit, and he's wearing this stupid baseball hat. It was branding. It was branding. And it got in, and he talked, and again, the way he presented it, if you went against it, therefore you hated America. It was a brilliant placement. So that's some of the examples, but so, you know, there's these trance secrets. People go into trance all the time. When I start teaching this, like when I do the Bill Clinton technique or the Magic Law of Three, people start saying, oh, you know, it doesn't work. You go in and out of trance all the time. You cannot not be hypnotized. Mr. Chris, I know you do have a couple of hypnotists that you do shows with, mm-hmm. and they're always saying, You cannot not be hypnotized. It's physically impossible. If you like movies, you're a great trance subject. Because if you could go watch Star Wars or any kind of movie and have an emotional response, you're in trance. Mm-hmm. Mr. Chris, you're a musician. You're in trance when you're really in the zone playing your music.
Oh, absolutely.
You lose track of time. You're into it. You're rifting with whoever you're playing with, mm-hmm. and it just flows. That's a trance state, slightly different. You do a lot with race cars. Really good race car drivers, much like any athlete, talks about when they're in the zone, it's like time stops, and yet it's going fast. Mm-hmm. Right? Because they're going at 200 miles an hour, but it's like, you know, a day in the park, as I heard one race car driver say, right? Mm-hmm. So these are naturally occurring brain states. And if you know how to get people to enter into those, you know, if I can get you to do that, can you think about a time where you were really proud of America? Can you think about a time where you felt good and boom, 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 it lights people up? You know, I talked about a few years ago, I got the chance to work with some recruiters. And they had trouble getting people to go back into the reserves. This was a long time ago. And so they're trying to get people, and they talk about benefits and retirement and all the things they're going to talk about. But they weren't having a really good luck at getting prior service personnel to go back into the reserves. And so they asked me to come in and help. And I said, well, first of all, let's try this, right? And I really hooked them when I taught them the Bill Clinton technique. And I said, well, next time you're talking to somebody, a prior service guy, and I would be a good example. Well, tell me, what did you like about the service when you were in, right? Well, first, now you've asked them to enter into some information in their head. And as they start describing it, excuse me, you have to enter into it. Oh, you know what I liked? I liked the camaraderie. I liked the being challenged. I liked to be, you know, everybody held accountable. You know, you carry your, whatever you're going to say. But guess what I'm doing is I'm describing it. I'm entering into it. I remember, oh, yeah, that was fun when I was in this training, or we did this mission. It was this. It was that. It was fun. Oh, okay, good. And so I go to these recruiters. I said, now, every time they say something good, mention it back to them. And I decided, I said, and touch, because they had their uniform on, touch where your medals are. Right, which kind of represent the military for a lot of people. Oh, so you like the camaraderie. You like the mission. You like being held accountable and everybody being held accountable, right? Oh, that's great. That's great, right? So as you're entering into it, they're anchoring it to themselves. And then I go, let's have some more fun. Then say, well, you know, since you liked all that, why'd you get out? What didn't you like? Oh, you know what? I hated the bullshit, the getting up at 6 a.m., the hurry up and do nothing, and that. Well, I'm entering into that. That's what stopped me from going back in. So I said, well, as they listen to that, say, so you liked all this stuff. Again, anchor this to them. And there's certain things you didn't like, and throw that away. And say, guess what? In this reserve, you don't have a lot of this. And then list what they had. You don't have a lot of hurry up and do this. We're very mission-oriented because everybody in this unit or everybody that we're recruiting at prior service, you're not going through basics. You're not going through any of that. You're going to be this. So you put that over there. And so when you join us, you get the good stuff, you leave the rest behind, right? Well, their recruitment rate shot through the roof, right? And it was so effective, I wanted to go back in. Because again, you're not immune to it, even as it's being done. So there's, you know, again, elicit the good, do this. And just think about how we see it in the world. One is the iPhone, you know, it's Apple's done a brilliant, it's called brand marketing. You know, what I was teaching recruiters is to brand themselves with the good part of the being in the reserves. And, you know, because you're in the reserves, you only go for two, you know, whatever it was, a weekend and, you know, 2 weeks in the summer until the war started. Then you get called up to Iraq for 2 years. But yeah, So, and again, like my two favorite case studies, of course, is Apple Computer, where they basically, when they first started selling the computer, even before they got the iPhone, they talk about this is not for everybody. That's exclusivity, right? The other brilliant use of it is Harley Davidson. You know, even a hardcore Harley guy might admit, if you got him honest, it may not be the best motorcycle, right? I've had Harleys. I've had all kinds. Honest to God, the BMW was like hands down the best bike I ever drove, but you couldn't get me off my Harley. because it was what it represented to me. You know, the Harley, the sound, I could justify it all day, right? But it had nothing to do with that. It had to do with how it made me feel. And again, as I wrap up this first level of secret mind control, it's about when I talk about the Bill Clinton or what I was doing with recruiters, or, you know, if you meet somebody and you want to be a get them to be attracted to you, it's about the feeling. It's not about the fact. It's about the feeling. Forget the facts, right? Because, you know, I could describe, you know, if I was single, I could describe the perfect woman in my mind. That may not be the woman I fall in love with. Right. It's how they make you feel. And if you understand that, what Bill Clinton did beautifully, what Barack Obama did, it was how you felt. He made you feel good and linked it to you. And, you know, or Donald Trump, again, same thing. He makes you feel a certain way and he anchors it to him. Right. And, you know, so there's some good ideas. So my mind hack for the week is elicit states in people and anchor it to yourself, right? Elicit states in people and then anchor it to you. So, you know, and if it's a good state, isn't that wonderful? How are you doing today? You know, and as they describe, so you're feeling great. That's good. That's good. Anchor it to you. Because again, remember, I just read this and I posted it. The insignificant act you do today may be the most significant thing that that other person experiences. That kind smile, a helping hand, a kind word, holding a door open, that may literally change that other person in ways we can't imagine. We've all been in that place where you're feeling crappy and somebody just gives you a nice smile and you feel good. It shifts their perspective. And so that's what I want us to do. And also play with the magic number of three. Just think about how often you hear it in marketing, and in speeches and in powerful techniques and that. So again, have some fun with this week. Share it with as many people. Again, if you like this, go to secretmindcontrol.com. There's some really cool stuff. It's easy to do. It's a fun course. I guarantee you're going to learn a lot and it's going to be fun. And see you next week as we trudge the road to happy destiny. And I'll have another mind control expert on with us next week.
This has been No Limit People with Dr. Will Horton. Join us next week at 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time right here at Facebook Live and RadioBuzz.com.